Welcome to the meeting of the Research and Innovation, Legal and Legislative Affairs Committee. The meeting is called to order. Crystal, would you please call the roll?
Good morning. Committee Vice Chair Rita Athus.
Yeah, here.
Trustee Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Montel Gales.
Here.
Trustee Tim Moore.
Here.
Board Chair Eric Watzowitz.
Here.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrero.
Here. Thank you. Mr. Perry, would you please confirm that appropriate notice of this meeting has been provided and that we have a quorum present?
Good morning, Madam Chair. You have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. We have a quorum of trustees present and in person for today's committee meeting. Trustee Athus, as we all know, is attending remotely because of illness. May I have a motion to allow Trustee Athus to participate in today's meeting remotely?
So moved.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
All
in favor? Sorry, thank you. I'm reading too quickly. All right, I'm going to try that again. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion passes. Next, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So moved.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. May I now have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? No. All right. Next, I want to welcome any University Advisory Committee representatives present today. Do you have any comments? No comments. Thank you. No comments then. And we'll move on to just some remarks of mine. So we've had an exciting month and last month. In April, we had a really exciting visit from Senator Durbin and Representative Underwood to celebrate a really important investment here at NIU. We've got so much great support from Senator Durbin and at the federal level to really promote STEM, the STEM fields, and really position NIU as being a national leader and a driver truly of being more competitive nationally and globally in the field of STEM. So NIU recently did receive a $1.5 million federal investment through the U.S. Department of Education's community project funding grant for a 4,200 square foot microchip innovation and workforce development hub on campus. It's exciting. These funds are going to support the conversion of a lab into a fabrication lab, really fostering small business incubation, research and development, and again driving innovation across Northern Illinois and helping to address the global microchip shortage. My understanding about microchips, which is pretty limited, but it sounds really amazing. It has the potential to just change everything, right? From computers and automobiles, weapons, and defense systems, and infinite hearing aids, which is something that we're developing here at NIU. So we're just really grateful, again, to Representative Underwood and Senator Durbin for their visit and their support of our work and how we have an opportunity to really play a role in this work. Great agenda today, including a presentation from Professor Raymond, who's Professor of Art History at NIU, Director of the Center for Burma Studies, and Curator of the Burma Art Collection. She will be talking to us about the Center for Burma Studies and our Burma Art Collection, which is really quite impressive. And I have been hearing about this for some time. You know, I actually thought we had had a presentation about this before because I hear so much about the center and how much it means to NIU and for so many experts in the field, around the world. So I won't steal your thunder, but I will leave a teaser. is that it is the only center in the world which has a Burma art collection within a university. And we have the most impressive art collection outside of the country located in Southeast Asia. So good stuff. Can't wait to hear more. And you will also hear from Dr. Blasey about our continued success in sponsored programming. Always thanks to Daryl Little, who you know is in charge of that shop, and funding for this period is up 5%, with research up to 20% and instruction up 44% over the same time last year. So we continue to see continued success. Thank you. And finally, I'd like to recognize the incoming VP of RIPS, which was already discussed earlier today. I think I may have missed her. I'm not sure if she's still on the line, but I am so glad that Dr. Harris is going to be able to take on, you know, Dr. Blasey's, all of the foundation that he has really set. I'm not going to say goodbye yet because you still got another board meeting, I think, right? One more?
I'll be here.
Yes. I think I ask you that each time. you've got more time. But I'm really excited that a person like Dr. Harris, a leader like Dr. Harris, is going to be able to nurture and take all of Dr. Blasey's work to the next level. And as you all heard, you know, her background is really impressive. Music to my ears. So twice alum here, and also leader, you know, just really awesome leadership roles in different state institutions, including, Chicago State and city colleges. So all good to me, right? All music to my ears. So anyway, I'm excited to get to meet Dr. Harris and continue to get to know her over the next few weeks and months. Next, we will move to public comment. We recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Perry, have you received any timely requests to address this meeting?
Madam Chair, we have no public comment this morning.
Thank you. At this point, I would like to ask Vice President of Research and Innovation Partnerships, Dr. Blasey, for news items and comments.
Thank you, Chair Herrero, for the very kind comments, and good morning to the full board. I'll begin with the federal report. Hang on a minute here. This has never happened before. Okay. It's fine. All right, sorry about that. I'll begin with the federal report. So as a reminder, the search for the new director of federal relations has been completed, and Julia Rao will be starting in 4 days on May 15th. Ms. Rao most recently served at Northwestern University as associate director of federal relations. She's very well qualified. We're very fortunate she agreed to join us. A reminder that the Director of Federal Relations has been moved to the President's office and will be reporting to Dr. Streb. As was mentioned earlier, on April 5th, Senator Durbin and Representative Underwood visited NIU to celebrate congressionally directed funding of $1.5 million to the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology. They also held a roundtable with Dr. Freeman, Dr. Streb, and Dr. Tyron Hazadi, and 5 students to discuss the impact of laboratory on their careers. For FY24, NIU submitted another proposal to Senator Durbin and a proposal to Senator Duckworth for congressionally directed funding. And I'm happy to report that Senator Durbin has stepped up to the plate for us again and has requested $1.66 million for a proposal from the College of Ed called Upskilling Teacher Aides to Special Education Teachers to support the College of Ed's LEAP program, which enrolls local paraprofessionals, in this case teachers' aides, and upskills them in 2 years into special education teachers by helping them attain a bachelor's degree in licensure. And I would just like to point out that the delegation has been incredibly supportive of NIU. This will be the 4th year of congressionally directed spending, aka earmarks, and we have each year either received funding or funding has been moved along to the Appropriations Committee. In terms of advocacy, NIU has responded to a number of agency requests for information regarding broadening of participation, and these include requests for information from the Department of Ed about study abroad, the NIH about open access of publications, and NASA about diversifying grant awards. And our main goal in responding to them is to remind the agencies that they really need to consider institutional diversity when they consider grant awards. Just yesterday, we submitted questions for the record to Representative Kasten for this week's hearing in the House Committee on Science and Technology with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency regarding institutional diversity. So the entire delegation is on board with this advocacy and have been great partners. We also learned that our advocacy program to increase Department of State funding for national resource centers resulted in restored funding for our Center of Southeast Asian Studies. And there we have Senator Duckworth and Congresswoman Underwood to thank for their assistance with the Department of Ed and essentially with increasing the appropriations the Department of Ed receives. On the legislative side, there is movement on CHIPS 2.0 legislation, which will focus on other technologies besides microchips, and these include artificial intelligence and machine learning and quantum information sciences and energy, renewable energy productions, which are all three areas of focus for NIU. So I think we will continue with our advocacy on the Hill in those three areas. So I'll now move from federal report to other news items. Turning to NICS, construction status is relatively unchanged since we last met. There have been continued delays at the Capital Development Board, the latest due to a program or a project management transition. However, we're told this has been resolved since mid-April. And we heard at that time that the Capital Development Project Manager and the contract executive anticipated completion of the first consultant, the bridging document consultant, by this May. There hasn't been any updates since mid-April, but perhaps we will hear soon. Here we have been reconstituting the concept design team to work with the bridging firm, and a task force has been working on instrumentation for the facility. And a final note on NICS, as you may recall, the search for the director of NICS was postponed pending the appointment of the new Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships. However, to ensure a transition, Dean Brinkman and Vice President Koshonis and the incoming VP of RIPS will be working together on NICS planning. Okay, turning to externally sponsored funding, as you have seen in the quarterly report and as the chair has discussed, we continue to see yearly growth. At the end of the third quarter, NIU received a total of 301 sponsored program awards totaling almost $34 million. Funding for this period is up 5%, research 20%, and instruction up 44% over the same time last year. And as always, I urge the board to review the grants listed at the end of the quarterly report. I think it's fair to say we are on a torrid pace and have already exceeded our fiscal year record for non-COVID relief funding, sponsored funding, now nearly at $50 million with 6 weeks to go. And relative to FY18, that's an increase of over 50%. Associate Vice President Dara Little is in the audience. Should you have any questions on sponsored programs and that program? To encourage further development of the research portfolio, I'm pleased to announce the new Office of Research Development, or ORD, has started ramping up operations. There was an announcement in, lost my place. There was an announcement of NIU today, and the ORD website is up and also running now, and you can take a look at that. Prompted by the board, NIU now has a new outward-facing website that provides information for external stakeholders to engage in research and innovation. And the last item I'd like to mention is the newest high-performance computing machine named METIS has arrived, is fully installed in Swen Parson, and commissioning has started, and we're hoping for full operations within a month. and that will bring an order of magnitude increase in current HPC power to the campus. These facilities are available at no cost to faculty, which is a bit unusual. Typically, universities charge for the time, but we really want to promote usage of the machine and are incentivizing faculty to use the machine. I'd like to note that that was a true interdivisional effort and could not have been executed without the support of DOIT, finance, procurement, and general counsel. It took a huge team to get that machine acquired and installed on campus. And thanks to the board for their encouragement to standing up the Office of Research Development and approval of the new high performance computing facility. So that concludes my update, but before I take questions, I would just like to thank the board for your unwavering support the past 8 years. Thanks to you, NIU has taken huge strides building the infrastructure that supports research and innovation. But more to the point, your support sends a loud and important signal to the faculty and staff about the importance of scholarship. And lastly, I too would like to add my congratulations to Dr. Harris for her appointment as Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships. And I also am confident that she will take NIU to the next level.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move to university reports and start with the state legislative report with Katie. Is she online?
I'm here. Good morning. Can everyone hear me?
Hi, Katie. Hey, Katie.
Great. Thank you for allowing me to join remotely to present a supplemental oral report to my written report in front of you. I'll be brief this morning. With 7 days remaining in spring session, budget negotiations are well underway in the 103rd General Assembly. As you may know, the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability released their April monthly briefing, and in the briefing, COGFA reported that state revenues in April saw a significant drop as final tax receipts fell well short of last year's historical levels. As a result of this, plus additional funding requests for human services, legislators are being forced to make difficult budgetary decisions. We remain hopeful that legislators will support the governor's recommendations for a 7% increase to higher education. In addition to our successful advocacy efforts during NIU Day, we launched a call to action in partnership with the NIU Alumni Association, asking NIU alums to reach out to their legislators, urging them to support the governor's budget proposal. That campaign generated 311 emails to 101 unique legislators. Additionally, I continue to reach out to legislators to stress the need for increased operational investment to support NIU's number one priority, our people. Students are requiring more and more assistance to support their success, and the university is feeling the pressure of inflation. So far, we've only heard positive remarks from legislators regarding higher education, budgetary negotiations, and their support of that. So, and I'm expecting to see some a budget at some point over the weekend. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Cherie Sannon and Jason Askin for their work on addressing the much needed reform to address our repeat audit findings. Cherie and Jason worked very closely with the other institutions and the Office of the Auditor General to address outdated regulations and guidelines that continue to cause these repeat audit findings. A hearing to review and request approval for the recommended changes being brought forward to the Legislative Audit Commission will be held on Tuesday, May 16th. Based on our conversations with members of the commission, we're expecting those changes to be approved. Again, I just wanted to thank Cherie and Jason for their work on this effort. It's been a long time coming and much needed reform. One piece of legislation I'd like to highlight allows Illinois public institutions of higher education to access high school student contact information for recruitment purposes. This is something we were hearing from our enrollment management teams, so we drafted the legislation, and I'm happy to report it passed yesterday in both chambers and will be sent to the governor for his signature. I'm going to wrap up my remarks, but I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Katie. Questions or discussion? I think Chair Waswitz.
So,
Katie, what are they saying? I mean, I've got some thoughts, but as far as the tax revenues dropping like that, what's the word as to why that is now?
Why the tax revenues were dropping?
Yeah, because if revenues are dropping, then obviously they're going to not, they need to close some gaps in the budget then if that's the case, so.
Yeah, that is definitely something we're hearing. The projections, though, and the revenues from this last year, FY23, they're still expecting to kind of keep somewhere around the original projected FY24 budget. I think our biggest concern right now is all these additional asks that are being made to the legislators. In terms of, addressing some Medicaid issues that you may be hearing about in the news. But we don't anticipate that to come or take from the higher education budget at this point.
But my question is more around the top line revenues that are coming in. You had mentioned, hopefully I heard you or understand you correctly, that number is down. And is that... the COVID
for April,
is going away.
As a result of the income tax reporting, that's what they were seeing was just some lower projections from the previous year. But in terms of kind of the details, I'll have to go through the COGFA report and maybe be able to get back to you on some more specifics around that.
Okay. Chair Wasserman, I can add a little bit, and Katie's done a great job of laying out kind of the situation right now in Springfield. But two things. One, very similar to the universities, the state no longer has COVID relief funds, so that has affected them. And the other thing I think is important to point out is that Governor Pritzker, in his budget proposal, actually put forward a much more conservative, cautious estimate of what revenues would be. And so there's some question right now about how much his budget proposal is going to have to change as a result of the lessened revenue. But Katie's absolutely right in terms of what you see, and you see it every year around this time, is a lot of, I don't want to say it's not political gamesmanship, but a lot of people coming forward saying, we need more money. There's a lot of stuff going on between legislators right now in terms of trying to push their own initiatives. But that's one of the things that we're...
Yeah, I get that part. I was talking more about the top line.
Right.
There's two parts of the equation, so it's what's coming in the funnel at the top.
Well, I think the governor, was anticipating a slowdown in the economy, and I think that's one of the reasons
apparently
why
we're seeing it already if growth are coming in lower.
Correct.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions or discussion?
Trustee Herrero, it's Rita.
Yes, please.
I had a question for Katie. Katie, that last piece of legislation we talked about, the access to high school records, how does that work? I think that's a great idea. I'm glad that NIU took the lead on that. And as we talk about students going to other states, I mean, this seems a way to really attack it straight on. So how does it actually work?
Yeah, so that piece actually resulted from some conversations that were being had by our enrollment management folks from the various institutions with the higher ed working group. And we were expressing just that, the concern that out-of-state institutions are having an easier time contacting our students than we are. So what this is going to do is create a database that I believe is going to be controlled by IBHE through an agreement between ISBE, Illinois State Board of Education, and the Illinois Board of Higher Education. That's my understanding. I think that they're still going to be kind of working out how that's actually going to be rolled out and implemented, but talking to Vice President Jensen, this sounds like it's going to be something that will be very beneficial to us. He flagged a few things that we may be taking back during veto session just to really tighten up the language in the bill in order to, make sure that we're protecting our students from those outside institutions or even, some of the nonprofit or the for-profit institutions. But it's a major step for us in terms of being able to make those, have those early touch points with our juniors and seniors in our state.
Thank you. I think, yeah, it's definitely a big step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move to agenda item 7B, sponsored program and administrative quarterly report, though I think it's just a written report, right? So I hope everyone had the opportunity to look at the report and see all of Dara's progress and her team's progress. And obviously, our faculty have been quite busy writing lots of grants and proposals. So I will, unless there are any questions, keep going. Any questions on the report? Agenda item 7C, faculty presentation with Dr. Catherine Raymond. Dr. Catherine, do you want, or sorry, Dr. Raven, do you want to come up? Thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting me to present on the Center for Burma Studies to you, and thank you for the support over the years. Next slide, I have to see, that's the old system, right? Next slide, please. Yes, thank you. As you hear, my name is Catherine Raymond. I'm professor of art history at NIU, specializing in South and Southeast Asian art. As a director and curator and general editor for the Journal of Burma Studies, I was delighted to join NIU in 2002. Obviously, with my accent, I was trained in art and archaeology in La Sorbonne, Paris. And I learned Burmese and other Oriental languages at the National Institute of Oriental Languages and Civilization in Paris, and also at the university in Burma in the 80s. When I arrived at NIU in 2002, I was much intrigued by the uniqueness of our center. At that time, there was no website regarding the collection. This beautiful building was under restoration, and everything was in cardboard and in a very, very unsuited area. Being the only such research institute in the US, I could see the potential of teaching our students and other side of the world. When I arrived and I saw the tape, after returning for my interview, I said, I can teach, yes, this is really very exciting. Next slide, please. The Center for Burma Studies at NIU is the only research and curatorial institution in the US. It is located at a strategic point, sorry for my small map, between India, China, Thailand, and the Indian Ocean. And due to his position, President Obama paid a visit to the country in 2012 at the time of the country was shifting toward democracy under Aung San Suu Kyi, a Nobel Prize winner. NIU has probably the best assemblage of Burmese artwork and related documentation cited outside of any country in Southeast Asia, in Europe, as well as here. We are the only university in the world hosting such a dedicated Burmese resources and Burmese collections. Next slide, please. So here you can see, and I left on your table, you can spend a few minutes because we have a beautiful exhibition right now. And I will be delighted to welcome you if you have a few minutes after your busy schedule today. The Center for Burma Studies was founded by a group of academic and diplomats from prestigious universities to bring together in one single place the scarce resources on Burma. One of the donors, a former diplomat, pledged to give 100 objects if a center was established. NIU was selected after a fair competition with Cornell, Michigan, Wisconsin in 1986. But due to, in part, to the commitment of NIU and also because the importance of the Center for Southeast Asia Studies, which was created 20 years before, one of the seven resources centers in the country, they chose NIU. The center received its first important donation from American, and you see an old exhibition I did in 2005 with a wonderful group of students already, so it was exciting to see how I could really blend the teaching as well as the training for a new generation of all kinds of students. So we have now, from 100 objects in 1986, we have more than 15,000 items, including bibliographic holdings, maps, manuscripts, and, of course, artwork. Next slide, please. Part of our role, and thank you to the Board of the Trustees in 2019, December 2nd, who approved the co-share of a big grant we got from the museum and library system, we were able to move to a wonderful place in the library where you are more than welcome to visit at any time. Part of our role is to preserve the past for the future generation, but also to further global education. So through integrating this collection into diverse classrooms on and off our home campus. We did recently improve the preservation, safety, and security of the collection. Both graduate and undergraduate students assist with the project and receive training in object care and handling. As you can see, this is Lemu, is from a refugee camp in Thailand. And I will say a little bit more. They are all wonderful and from different horizons. As a result of various grants, the collection is now accessible and visible. The collection is now used by various divisions of the university and by local community and international scholars. Since 2002, we received more than 2022, since we have the new place, all the classroom I'm teaching with, and my colleagues visit the storage. So more than 150 undergrad and graduate students from different disciplines has welcomed dozens of outstanding national and international scholars. Next slide, please. This is a move. You can see we were, yes. So we just went from one building to the other. And fortunately, during COVID, we had access to the bridge because nobody was using it. And so because we were essential, the collection was really not supervised, so it was really problematic. We moved from this very small place on the top of the slides to a beautiful place. And you see two of our students, sorry, it's just cut in the lower, they were wonderful. They needed an internship in museum studies, and I said, please come. So these are the two students, Angie and Larissa, who are artists themselves and got their museum studies, and we moved safely and by 3,000 objects through this bridge and outside when it was too big. So, next slide, please. Yes. This is an important part for me and for you, I'm sure, education. And that's why I came here. One, it was a public university. Two, we had a wonderful students, third generation. Three, they don't know the word yet, but I was bringing already with my accent, like I said, everything. Part of the world they never seen. but also discovering another universe through the object, but through the classroom, and so on. So here is a classroom which really gave me the idea in 2006 of how objects can be part of the classroom and can make them travel in another culture with other religion, other way of living, other way of apprehending the world, another. So it has been my philosophy after to integrate this collection to every classroom. So even bringing pochette from the 14th century, and so they could touch, even during COVID, they were able, I maintained my face-to-face, 25 students in 250 auditorium. So moving forward, please, next slide. So here you see just an example of how the students have been training. We got more than 15 students trained right now. They are a photographer, nursing, public administration, political science, geography, art, of course, environment. And you see them taking the photo of the card you have. And so that was Chloe and Maeve who did that. We guide them how to do photography for posters and so on. But also they are trained in computer science and so on. That's my time off. Okay, so next one, please. That's publication. We are the only academic peer-reviewed journal published in the world, and we have two issues. And thank you to Jerry Blasey, who helped moving toward Howard University Press. It's a revenue of 6,000 because the online and the print issue every year. And it's really a window for our research because we have Burmese scholars as well as European international students. Can we go to the next? So exhibition is part also of the practice. We moved from 2004, when this building was open, to today. One of the most important exhibitions we did recently was the art of surviving, the journey of the Burmese Karen refugee in Illinois, giving a voice to communities, Asian American. Right now, we got a grant for using this exhibition. We did that with the community of refugees in Aurora and Chicago. And we have now 16 students, undergrad and grad, who are studying at NIU, seeing the welcoming of NIU. And we are going to use this exhibition for the Teach Act. Illinois was the first state to against Asian aid, to come to fight against Asian. Next slide, please. Okay, collaboration is not only regional, as I just mentioned, but national, and our art collection has been viewed in the country, in New York, at the Asia Society, in Cincinnati last year, and today they are the ambassador in Asian Art Museum in San Francisco. If you go there, just you can say hi to them. We also work with our alumni, thank you to our collaboration with the Center for Southeast Asia Studies, and you see, unfortunately, cutted. Dr. Freeman and Dr. Blasey, with all our alumni from the various projects we have on the Southeast Asian Young Leadership Project. And so I met, usually, I used to meet them twice a year every time I was going there. And so it's a wonderful community. They look really to come back here and continue their studies and inviting more people. So the last but not the least, next slide, please. The collaboration, of course, it goes interdisciplinary. I opened on this collaboration with my colleagues and professor in environmental studies, in geography, in public administration, political science, and business. And art can be also a diplomatic tool, which we did in repatriating an object. Next slide, please. Repatriating this Buddha image and so, and this Buddha was stolen in 1988 and bought and then was put in auction in Sotheby, identified by one of my colleagues as a stolen object. It took few years to repatriate this image to the country, and you see the ambassador, thank you to his help, the Burmese ambassador. I was visiting the Burmese embassy every 6 months. You know, we have a Buddha, we want to repatriate. Why you are not keeping it? Well, because it's not belonging to us, it's one of your treasure. And so finally, in 2012, it was repatriated. It stayed here after being exhibited, and it became really the diplomatic elements and the first repatriation in Asia of such a fine object. Lisa Freeman visited the Buddha after hearing a long saga, and it's probably one of a beautiful tool which helped also when we started the collaboration with the university. So we were well known. And the next one and the last one, the collection can be, yeah. So here is when Princess Sirindon, Royal Princess of Thailand, came. We did organize with the Burma Collection and collaboration with anthropology and the library a little exhibition to welcome her and to see the outreach of our university. Thank you. If you have any questions.
Forgive me, you may have mentioned this, but the pieces, do they belong to us, or are they on loan from the Burmese government? Is that how that works?
No. So we have a collection which is supervised by the board of the trustees attached to the Center for Burma Studies. Okay. And because we are taking very well good care of it. So.
And then a follow-up question is, since you mentioned to stop over in the library and take a look at those pieces, et cetera, do we...
Downstairs, for the exhibit and in the library for the storage.
So mm-hmm. that's open to the community, right?
Of course, anytime. And we got donation of these people who are there, grandparents or parents who are aging, and they are donating. This is really, for me, a key point. I am an archaeologist. That means objects stay in the country.
Yes.
But these are objects who came long time ago in this country, because when the Americans were asked to advise the new government after the independence in 1948. Yeah.
So, Trustee Gales, I'll just make a comment. So we have received a charter from the Foundation for Burma Studies that actually is in San Francisco to be custodians of that collection. Yeah.
Hey. Yes, please.
I'm sure there was thought given to this, and there's a reason why, but the country of Burma went through a name change to Myanmar. So what, do we have any plans to change this name to the Myanmar Center, or is there a reason we continue to use Burma?
Until the State Department is going to use Burma, we are going to keep, because sanctions are not lifted and they are far from being lifted. So,
no, I know there's a tremendous
Myanmar,
amount
Myanmar
of...
was adopted by the military regime without the consultation of the Burmese. And so in 1989, people resisted outside of Burma, particularly the former Commonwealth and UK, as well as the US. And when the military reinforce their power, that's clearly now the question of young generation who don't want even to refer to Myanmar, which is a name in Burmese of the Myanmar people. So, so the language is Myanmar, the country is Myanmar country.
I did a online workshop about a month and a half ago for 180 Burmese young leaders in their country, and I got to hear firsthand about the oppression that's going on with the government,
because what's going on right now.
Their question time after time was how to keep people motivated when oppression is taking place in your country. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we are welcoming quite a lot of students right now. And the question is for us, which I motivate the young Burmese coming to us in sometime in a very bad condition with the situation in the country, and said, you are the future of your country, and you will be alumni of NIU. And so will be very proud once you get education, and hopefully in a few years they could take the lead again. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really an important part. And I think it's a way for us to use their skill of their culture to share also with others.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful platform. We had really Burmese students continuing right now, one we had here, who is now going to Canada, so for a postdoc. So
great.
I think so there have been quite a lot of Burmese all over, but I think this new generation is going to be really important for us to train here, mm-hmm. and then to go like we are doing with the Asian American coming from this part of the world.
Wonderful.
But thank you.
Any
for
other
the board.
Questions from anyone? Well, it's really neat how you've made all of the collection and the center a resource for instruction across disciplines, and that we're able to make just such great use of the collection. That's wonderful. We're exposing more students and more people to the work, even those beyond, Burmese experts, right?
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. Thank you for being such a great caretaker
to
the collection.
Thank you. But thank you for the board for supporting all our effort in improving. So that
thank
wonderful.
You. And, sure thing.
And maybe we could have a congratulatory round of applause for Dr. Raymond on her retirement, which is imminent.
Thank you.
Thank you. And on that note, I understand that there is a search underway for a new director. Dr. Blasey, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, there is. First of all, thank you, Dr. Raymond, for the great presentation and for all of your efforts. I do invite the board to just take a stop downstairs and look at the exhibit. The artifacts are absolutely beautiful. And as Dr. Ramon invited you, you are welcome to the collection down in the sub-basement of the Founders Memorial Library. You'll see that this collection spans time from Neolithic era to contemporary art, and that's because Dr. Ramon has expanded the scope and the size of the collection. And once you go down there, you'll see why some of us get really excited about compact storage. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, you help install.
So, as President Freeman mentioned, Dr. Ramon is retiring at the end of this calendar year, and we've been just about finished the search for the new director of Burma Studies. Or the Burma Center, and the committee will meet on Monday to make the final selection. So that's well underway. We have great candidates, and that will permit Dr. Ramon to return to her research and focus on that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Next, we'll go to agenda item 8, other matters. Are there any other matters requiring the attention of the board today? If not, we will move on to agenda item 9, a next meeting date. The next meeting of the Research, Innovation, Legal, and Legislative Affairs Committee is August 24th, 2023. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Crystal, will you please call the roll call to vote, please?
Committee Vice Chair Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Watzowitz?
Yes.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrero?
Yes. Thank you. The meeting is now adjourned, and this concludes the RILA committee meeting. Thank you.